From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Hello and welcome to another edition of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined this week by the winner of the Magic City Mega Bowl, Sarah Lamerson. Sarah, congratulations on your victory. I know you have a little bit of a cautionary tale for us to share later in the show, but hey, got to be nice to have a win under your belt, right?
Yeah, it was my first big event of the year, first A-tier that I played this year, and my first big win. So pretty excited about it.
Very nice. And yeah. Before we move on to the rest of the show, belated Happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there. I know my dad's always been a big reason why I got into disc golf. He basically was the first person I played with, and bummed to not be able to play with him yesterday because he lives up in the Bay Area and I live down south. But Happy Father's Day, and hope everyone got to go throw a little bit with dad this week. So we are going to look ahead this week to the Utah Open. But first, before that, man, Sarah, there were like a boatload of weekend A-tiers.
Yeah.
That we need to take a rundown at. And there's a couple announcements I have to get to first. So let me do that real quick. PDGA News announcements. First of all of the registrations for Worlds are now open. All the various World Championships, Junior Worlds, Masters Worlds, Pro Worlds, AM Worlds. Everything's open. So you can go check out the different registration lists over on the announcements page on PDGA.com. I'm looking at the different pages right now. There are about 60 or so spots still left in Pro Worlds, a boatload of spots left in Masters Worlds. They have 356 players available in Masters Worlds, and only 78 wow. registrations right now. AM Worlds, you better get on that, because there are, last I checked, and I have not refreshed this page today since this morning, there are 35 spots left. And ooh. Junior Worlds, there are about 80. So, no, about 90. So anyway, get your spots in for that. And what else do we have in quick PDGA news? We are having elections. We talked about that last week. Deadlines for state coordinator positions. If you would like to become a state coordinator, you have a big say in helping compose the tour schedule every year, as well as, you know, making sure local clubs are represented on the national level. It's a big, huge volunteer job that we rely on a lot of very competent people to do. And so if you would like to be a state coordinator, you can submit your candidacy by this Friday, June 22nd. All the information about that is at pdga.com/elections. And the last thing, Sarah, have you seen these sweet PDGA Zooka bags?
I have.
Man.
Yeah, so Cam Todd designed them, if I saw correctly.
Yeah, they've got Cam Todd art on them, and they're just like bright green with this beautiful purple tree and the moon on it. It's super awesome. And they are finally on sale. I think we'd been pumping these for a while. They are out there now in the wild. So you can find out more information about that also at the front page of PDGA.com. So that takes care of the housekeeping. Sarah, a lot of A-tiers this weekend. There were 9 A-tiers. I have to admit, we maybe blew it a little bit last week. And we were like, oh, not really any big events this week. So let's just, you know. There were 9 A-tiers.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either, but I mean.
Well, I guess tournament directors are just taking advantage of open weekends because there's so much competition of events nowadays now that disc golf is growing and there's more people willing to step up into tournament director positions. It's hard to find an open weekend.
Yeah.
So.
And it's summertime. So,
yeah.
You know, prime time for disc golf. So. We're going to work our way like west to east in the U.S.
Okay.
And actually not even in the U.S. First, we are going to start in Canada with the BC Open, which was up in British Columbia. And I have to, I'm excited about this one because Nick Wood, who people may remember from our 8 to watch an 18 list earlier this year, he took the win this weekend. He had a 991 rated third round, ended with a 1033 rated final round. To take the W, I think, over, was it Jesse Bickley? I don't remember. I closed out all my windows now.
Yes. But, yeah, he won one stroke over Jesse Bickley.
Yeah, so congrats to Nick Wood. For those of you who maybe don't know Nick Wood, he is like the master of the selfie. And he's always walking around at tournaments, just randomly coming up and taking selfies with people.
That's awesome.
It's almost like, but it's not annoying. Like, you know how with some people, it's kind of annoying with selfies.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, it is. He's just so jovial and like kind spirited that you're like, oh yeah, of course, man. You almost feel like left out if you don't get put in a Nickwood selfie.
Yeah, he's like in his little photo memory book.
Yeah, so nice to see him add a little hardware and a little money to the memory book this week. So congrats to Nick Wood. And then women's division, surprise, surprise, Sarah Hokum won. Were you surprised by that at all?
No. Well, so I wasn't really, I was playing my own event, as you know, so I wasn't following a lot of the other A-tiers.
Well,
but
there wasn't live scoring or anything for any of these.
Yeah,
sites.
Yeah, yeah. But she won by a pretty big margin. She won by 11 strokes over Elaine King. And it looks like she shot pretty much over her rating, at or over her rating every round. So, yeah, she killed it. I'm not really surprised by that at all.
No, I think the bigger surprise for me was actually that Elaine King came in second place over Lisa Vekas in third.
But she's Canadian. She's on her home turf.
She got the home field advantage.
Yeah.
Is that like automatic strokes off of your score when you go into Canada and you're Canadian?
I would think.
Interesting. But she's not she's not British Columbia Canada, isn't she from Toronto?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
But I guess it just counts. The magic works there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the first one. Let's move slightly east to the Zootown Open over in Missoula, Montana. I posted a recap of this article or of this tournament on our PDGA Facebook page. If you want to go read it, they had a writer from the Missoulian out there, which is, I looked it up, the third largest newspaper in Montana. So that's really cool to get an actual newspaper sports writer out there. I was pumped to see that. And to me, the author really kind of got the vibe of disc golf and got the gist down. But the big news out of that one was that Garrett Gerthy had to rely upon his arm late, took a big risk, ran a big lake water carry shot and landed it and took the win over Nate Doss. So congrats to Double G. Nice.
Didn't that article say that it was like 600 feet?
It doesn't surprise me.
It's like, oh my gosh.
I was only surprised that it wasn't 700 feet.
I know. I was really impressed with that article too. It seemed like he really understood the ins and outs of the sports, and just the words he was using, I was like, yeah. It kind of read like a ball golf article.
Well, right, that's what you
in
want.
In a way that was really cool, yeah.
And he didn't try and like over-explain or under-explain things. It was just, and he didn't go into a bunch of minutiae. It was just a really solid recap article. So congrats to Garrett on that one. And then over in the women's division, big comeback from Madison Walker. I guess she struggled early and came back late. She came back from a 4-shot deficit, ended up winning by 6, I believe. So
yeah, something like that.
That's a big win for Madison too.
Yep, her last round was rated 977. So
pretty
and
good.
She won over. I'm thinking we probably should have done picks on this event because there are some pretty big names in both divisions. But she won. Let's see, 6 over Jessica Weiss and 7 over Val Jenkins. So
yeah. Yeah,
some pretty big names represented there.
Yeah, and I mean,
congratulations.
You know, yeah, another nice event. I've heard nothing but good things about this one. Smaller field, but I think it's maybe just because it's, you know, Montana, and right after an NT, a lot of people were splitting out. But also, shout out to Jay and Des Redding, who went up there. It looks like Yeti played, but I'm not seeing that Des played. I know she's been battling some injury stuff lately, but they went and worked with some local schools, and before the event they went up there and did a grand opening of a 9-hole disc golf course at elementary school.
Very cool.
Yeah, and they had like AJ Risley and I can't remember who else off the top of my head, but a couple pros came out with them and did like a clinic and got the kids into it. So just, you know, more of the Reddings growing the sport like we expect, right? So kudos to them for making that happen up in Montana.
Yeah.
Sarah, let's move. All right, do you consider, I didn't look exactly where in the map it was. I mean, in relation, like if we're talking, but I mean, Colorado's pretty much south of Montana. We could have technically been west based on where the cities are, but
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm terrible at geography.
That's cool. We'll take it. anyway, our next big event was the High Plains Challenge in Colorado. And this one was won by Joel Freeman on the men's side and Kona Panis on the women's side. So nice to see a couple young up-and-comers getting back on top.
Yeah, he won by a pretty big margin, too. 5 strokes over Robert Nichols. So, nice. Yeah.
Were you surprised to not see, like, Eagle McMahon play a little hometown?
Yeah, I wonder.
Or do you think it's a smart move to take it off?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to judge because I take a lot of weekends off. since I'm a weekend warrior, but I probably only play 1 to 2 weekends per month. So I'm sure with a very rigorous schedule like these touring pros have, taking a week off is probably a smart idea, just to kind of recover mentally and physically and maybe go home and see your family. Maybe that's what he was doing.
Well, if I recall correctly, too, from our show last week when we were looking up the ratings for him and Paul Macbeth and Ricky Wysocki for the whole season, Eagle had the highest average rating out of the three of them, and he'd actually played the fewest amount of rounds. So maybe it's a concerted strategy to play less and score more is what I would guess.
There you go. So maybe it's working.
It is working. It's certainly working. And we'll talk a little more about Eagle McMahon later when we get to the Utah Open preview. And now let's move to your event, the Magic City Mega Bowl. And this was in Alabama, right?
Yep. It's in Birmingham, Alabama. And I believe they used 3 courses. Well, so between the 2 pools, they used 4 different courses. And man, was it hot. Oh my gosh.
But you said you said the men had a lightning delay the last day?
Yeah, so the third round, they'd been calling for rain.
A little southern storm.
They'd pretty much been calling for rain all weekend, but we kind of skirted by it. But the last weekend, or the last day, the men were teeing off late, and I think they had about an hour lightning delay on the hardest, most physically demanding course out there.
Of course.
It's always how it works out.
I'm not very familiar with Alabama disc golf. Like, what kind of terrain are we looking at out there?
So I've really only played in Birmingham and a little bit in Tuscaloosa, but Birmingham courses, there's a lot of elevation change. A couple of the courses are extremely wooded. But then there's George Ward Park, which is a city park, and I believe the oldest course in the area, and that's just kind of like rolling hills, mostly open. So that's very different than Inverness, which is the course I was referring to that the men played on
right
the last day. And that course is just a beast. It's tons of elevation change. There's a creek, a pond, just big pine trees, very tight fairways. So that type of course and terrain may be special to that area, but it's an awesome course if you ever get down to that area to play.
Very nice. And it looks like on the men's side, it was Cam Colglazier who took the win. Cam Colglazier, who we don't see on tour all that much anymore, kind of just residing down the south these days. I don't even know if he's coming to Worlds. He'll usually come out for Worlds, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not out on tour as much anymore, but not surprised to see him take the win because it seems like... He's another one of those guys who's able to hold it down regionally. Going into the last round, Chris Dickerson was in the lead, correct, Sarah?
Yeah, I think he had it by 1 stroke.
Okay, and then it looks like he shot a 953 rated final round, which
is
pretty. I would venture to guess without even looking at his stats that that's probably the lowest round he has thrown all year.
I would guess so. I kind of got the scoop, and so he was on the lead card, obviously. And they had the lightning delay that was a little bit over an hour, and they had 9 holes left to play, and he just had a few just erroneous shots and then just some bad luck. And that it's one of those courses that you can get really lucky and you can land next to the basket or land in the fairway, or you can hit the same line but be 1 millimeter off and be in a terrible area with no approach shot at all. It sounded like all of that just kind of culminated in, bad round for him to end, but
it looks like he's been consistent enough to where that probably won't be included in his rating because his last low performance was the second round GBO earlier this year. That was a 967. Other than that, though, I mean, he hadn't gone anything lower than the 990s for a long time. So
yeah, that
I would
may
imagine
get
he'll be
dropped.
Okay.
That may get dropped.
Yeah, I'm betting
there's,
it will.
It's something with like two standard deviations from your rate, some crazy formula that I don't really understand. But yeah, sometimes it's around 100 points. If it's 100 points below your rating, then it'll get dropped. But that's not a hard and fast rule. So that might be right on the cusp of being included. But hopefully not, because that definitely does not represent the way that he can play.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, bad weather, bad luck happens. Have to give a shout out to my pick, Zach Milton, who looks like he shot the hot round the final round. And
he did, yeah.
Moved up into third place. So thank you, Zach Milton, for giving me a couple of extra points for points this weekend. Lefty power, I love it.
Yep.
So, and then obviously, congratulations, Sarah. What did you do with your $460 in prize money?
I will let you know when I receive it. Okay. No, they're doing the PayPal payout. So I'm probably going to use it to pay off my credit card bill.
Gosh, you are so exciting.
I know. I just live life to the fullest.
Yep, I could tell. So. Awesome. Well, congratulations, and we will talk a little bit more about your somewhat quirky experience at the event before the end of the show. But let's check out a couple more events. There was the Kanawha Valley Regional out in West Virginia, and this was kind of the battle of the old schoolers with Brad Schick and Barry Schultz kind of going head-to-head.
Yeah.
With Brad Schick taking the win. And then it looks like Christy Moore won in the FPO division. So another little regional one there. And then there were a few international A tiers as well. So I wanted to run through those real quick. Over in Estonia, Paul Uleberry went over to Estonia after coming in second place at Beaver State. And
how far away, like, is that just a quick jaunt?
Not even
like,
close.
How far away is that?
No, he said it was like a day of travel. And then he's coming back for Utah, man. That's
hardcore.
I don't know. Good for him, though. But he went and he won in Estonia. So congrats to Paul. Pulling some together. I honestly thought about maybe taking him for the Utah Open, but the jet lag scares me a little bit. and then Jenna Suhonen, who I honestly don't know as a European player, but she won the women's division, which kind of surprised me. She beat Kristen Tatar, who is Estonia's top women's player. So pretty cool to have another name on the list. And then there was we had an A tier in Sweden, which Anders Svärd and Linnea Bulo won. And then over in Finland, Veino Mäkelä and Henna Blomroos took wins there. A couple names that people might know from Disc Golf World Tour events last year. And Henna Blomroos, man, she beat Evelina Salonen by 9 strokes, which Evelina generally regarded as the Finnish women's player to beat. So kudos to Henna for really putting down a strong performance there.
Yeah.
And, man, I guess with all of that, we need to look at the hot rounds of the weekend. And, Sarah, ironically enough, the hottest round, at least in the men's division, didn't come from any of those 9 A tiers.
Oh my gosh.
The hottest round on the men's division this weekend goes to none other than Miles Seaborn, who was playing at the B tier Zeebo's Open out in Fort Worth, Texas. And he came in with a 1094 rated second round.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which is just it's insane. And he obviously won that event. So kudos to Miles Seaborn. I'll run through the rest of the MPO ones real quick. Most of them are from Zootown. Jordan Castro came in with a 1086 rated third round. He said, I saw him on Facebook, he said that's his highest rated round ever.
So awesome.
Congratulations to Jordan for that round and his third place finish that came with it. Nate Doss with a 1078 rated second round came in second place. And Garrett Gerthy with his 1068 rated opening round, that helped him to his first place finish that we talked about. And then the fifth hottest rated round of the weekend, also from Zootown, was another lefty, Chris Clemens, coming in with a 1066 rated third round. He actually tied for seventh place. So nicely done to everyone there. And then, Sarah, what do we have over on the FPO side for hot rounds?
So they were pretty evenly split between all the A tiers that we just talked about. But the hottest round, Sarah Hokum threw a 986, her first round, to win the BC Open driven by Innova. Congrats to her. She's throwing more and more rounds, like up in the 970s, 980s recently. It's
She is
awesome.
trending very well lately, yeah.
Yes, she is. The second hottest round was Henna Blomroos. She shot a 983, her second round to win the Prodigy Disc Golf Pro Tour. Olu? Is that how you say that?
We'll take it.
Okay, all right. The third hottest round was Madison Walker, shooting a 977, her third round to win the Zootown Open. The fourth hottest round was also at the Zootown Open. Valerie Jenkins shot a 964, her second round, and she took third. And then Elaine King shot a 962, her first round, to come in second at the BC Open.
Nice.
So, yeah, congrats to all of them.
Very hot rounds, very hot rounds. It's so hot, in fact, that we are going to take a short break and then we will come back and check out a place where, I don't know, is it sometimes hot this time of year in Utah? Maybe it's going to be cold. There's still snow in the mountains last year. Anyway, we're going to talk Utah Open when we come back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio.
And we're back on PDGA Radio, and now we're going to talk about the Utah Open that's coming up. So it is Friday through Sunday in Ogden, Utah, and I just watched a little bit of the footage earlier today to remind myself of how beautiful the course was,
Yeah.
the snow-capped mountains in the background. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine playing with a backdrop like that.
Yeah, it's very pretty. This is the fifth event on the Disc Golf Pro Tour this year, so we're like halfway through that season and more than halfway through the NT season, so everything is moving along swimmingly. But yeah, we get to see a little more disc golf on a ball golf course, which I know some people are going to be cranky about, Sarah. Which that's fine, that's their prerogative. But I will say this, like when I first started watching this event last year, it's at this place called Mulligan's Creekside. It definitely used to be a golf course. I will be the first to admit when yeah, I first started watching it, I was like, oh, more disc golf on a ball golf course. Yay. And I was kind of bored at first. But I watched the whole event, and honestly, there are a lot of nuances to this course and to this venue that really I grew to appreciate. So I would say if you're one of those people who's like, meh, no, I'm not gonna watch this because there's disc golf on a ball golf course, give it a chance because the pin placements are incredibly tricky. They've got some that are kind of on the edge of creeks or like perched just beyond bunkers. They've got, you know, hillside greens and things like that. There's a lot of difficulty here that is baked into this event. It's not just a big fat hyzer fest.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this before, but ball golf course, it's not all about just throwing as far as you possibly can two times and
No,
then
there's
making your
placement.
putt. Yeah, it's placement. You really have to read the wind when you have no trees around. Like the wind is going to take your disc, even a small gust. So you've got to play the wind. If you've got lots of rolling hills and elevation change, you've got to take that into consideration. You've got bunkers and greens and all sorts of stuff. I really enjoyed watching the event, I think just because I've only spent a really short time in Utah and I just loved the backdrop and it was beautiful and open and green and I don't know. It's even if you put your approach shot 30 feet from the basket, like you still have to contend with wind. And sometimes I don't know about you when you putt, but sometimes if I don't have an obstructed putt, it's like harder for me to focus because I'm like, oh my God, I have all of this wide open area and I have to, it's like me in the basket.
I mean, if it's 30
And
feet, I'm
there's
gonna miss
like
it anyway. But yeah, I get your point.
okay,
Yeah.
well, let's say 15. I'm just kidding.
Sure. No, yeah, I mean, it's
It
nice
can be
when you.
intimidating when you've got all that wide open area and nothing to contend with or
Focus on otherwise.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the cool part about this event, like you can say what you want, but it was very close in the men's division and it came down to a playoff in the women's division. So, it's likely to be an exciting affair. Last year, this was where Ricky Wysocki hit the walk-off ace, which was just amazing.
That
You
was
had
so cool.
Josh Anthon on his tail the whole time and pushing and pushing. And I mean, Ricky played really well down the stretch. He had to hit a big putt like out of a bunker, and you know, he had the ace walking off like that. But so there's plenty of drama there. You had plenty of drama on the women's side. Gosh, I don't remember specifically what it was now, but there was like a lot of there was some tension about like things in the final round
between
Jessica Weiss and Katrina Allen.
Yeah, it was about, there was a, I don't remember which hole it was, but you're throwing over a big pond, of course, which plays out of bounds. And she threw a big Kat threw a big hyzer shot, and they weren't sure whether it crossed inbounds before it went into the water.
Oh, okay.
And so there was just discussion about that, which is really hard to tell when it's like a big air shot and you have nothing
right
to really judge the distance or anything like that. But yeah, there's lots of drama. I really liked watching this event. I'm excited that I'm not going out of town this week. I can watch it this weekend too.
So this one's a 3-dayer. It'll be on the Disc Golf Pro Tour YouTube channel. I think Jomez and Central Coast will also be there. The one drawback of this event is that it is missing some big names. No Sarah Hokum. She is playing another event up in Canada. I think she must have a friend or family who she likes to hang with up there.
Maybe.
And then, because she was up there earlier this year too, on an off week. No Paige Pierce. I think she's already left to go to Europe for the, I believe, the Latitude 64 Tiny, or however they pronounce it. It's a big, big European event over there. And then no Simon Lizotte, no Nate Sexton, no Nate Doss. So a few big names missing from the registration list, Sarah. Does that impact your picks at all?
Yes, it just, well, especially for the women's side. So we've no Valerie Jenkins either.
Sure.
And so there's just fewer people to pick. There's 12 people instead of like 15.
Yeah, that's true. It's more impactful, I think, on the men's side, because this is kind of a course where, you know, maybe someone like Nate Sexton could place his way to a strong showing. And then, you know, obviously no Simon and Nate Doss. We've seen Nate Doss play really well on golf courses this year. So that kind of tweaks things a little bit. And then the other elements of this that I really struggled with handicapping this event was, okay, so Ricky won it last year, but he was kind of spraying it at Beaver State. His accuracy numbers, like fairway hits and everything like that, were way down compared to his normal stuff. And then you've got Paul McBeth didn't play this event last year, so there's less course familiarity. And then same thing with Eagle McMahon, didn't play this event last year. So both of those guys come in, and normally I wouldn't be that worried about them. And even like McBeth, you know, he, I guess going in his favor is that San Francisco was a new event on a golf course, and he won there. My concern, though, is just because of the difficult placement of a lot of these shots and landing zones, that maybe it does favor someone who has played there before. I think having experience at this course is going to be pretty valuable. That's why someone like Paul Ulibarri, who's played there a few times now, and even to another degree, Katrina Allen, she's been there, I think, all 3 or 4 years this event's been going. I think that kind of helps tip things in their favor a little bit. So, I don't know. Let's make our picks, Sarah. You want to make our picks?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Do we stand? So I picked Dickerson last week, so I got no points.
No. Well, were we just going for an all or nothing there?
I thought we were doing... I don't think he got top five, did he?
Well, no, it wasn't based on top five. It was just we get our points for where he finished in the top 10. I don't know. Okay. You're still up. I don't have the numbers.
I was trying to get you a couple more points.
I mean, I got a couple on you, I think, because Melton came in third and Dickerson came in, what, seventh?
I think so.
Seventh or eighth. So I got maybe 4 points on you. So
okay.
Go me. But more importantly, see, I lulled you into a false sense of security and got you to make that pick last week on an event where maybe the points weren't as high or as valuable.
But so maybe I should have picked myself, and then I would have gotten more points.
That you should have done. anyway, so this week I get to go first, and I actually really wrestled with this one a lot. Like that whole scenario I was just talking about with who has the experience versus who's playing well lately and everything like that. And ultimately, I decided that I'm going to take Eagle for this one. And the reason is because he is just showing so much poise and control lately. I'm not so worried about him going out of bounds here. Like he's got the lowest OB rate out of him, Ricky, and Paul this season. His precision driving with, you know, slower speed discs. Like, he's taking like a PD half the time instead of a PD2 or a destroyer, like some of these guys are. And he's putting it on ropes and placing his shots really well. His confidence is kind of at an all-time high. He doesn't really have a big win on the Disc Golf Pro Tour yet. So I'm going to say that he gets one and that Egan McMahon is going to win in the men's division. On the women's side, I'm going with Katrina Allen to avenge her playoff loss to Jessica Weiss last year. So,
all right,
Sarah, who do you like? And then we'll get to our top fives.
Well, I was gonna go Waisaki, whether or not you picked Eagle or not, or Waisaki or not, whatever. Whoever you were gonna pick, I was gonna stick with Waisaki if you didn't pick him. So
I was gonna say, what if I pick?
Then I would probably go Eagle.
Yeah.
He's probably gonna ace Hole 18 all three rounds. And I don't know. He's got the experience. He played really well last year. I think he's got it in the bag.
Well, and look, if you want to get on like the narrative revenge factor, like this is two big events in a row that he hasn't won. It wasn't that long ago. It was only a month ago, but his last big win was Masters Cup. Since then, we've had San Francisco and we've had Beaver State, and he hasn't won either of those. So yep. It is difficult to see a scenario in which Ricky Wysocki does not win three big events in a row. So I don't begrudge you that. So then who are you going to take on the women's side?
So I'm going to mix it up. I know we kind of spoiler alert. We kind of knew our picks beforehand, but I'm going to mix it up on you. Because I don't know why I didn't do this in the first place.
I don't either.
I'm going to go Jessica Weiss.
Oh, yeah, now I got to rethink my top five pick. That's fine.
I'm sorry. You can just steal mine, probably.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so the PDGA page is incorrect for some reason, but she did win in the playoff with Katrina Allen last year. And I think her game really suits this. I said this earlier in the year that I'm really impressed by her forehand and backhand, and her control shots are really good. So I think she's going to perform pretty well, and she's got the experience on this course.
Yeah, I'm honestly, that's a smarter pick of you anyway. So good job. I'm okay with you springing that one on me last minute. So top five side for the men's side, I'm going to go with Drew Gibson. He's been playing so well lately. I mean, we've seen him on lead cards galore. He's struggled to finish super strong lately, but he played great at this event last year. He got some time on the league. I think he was on the final round lead card, if I recall.
He was correctly. Apparently he was on the coverage all three rounds. Yeah. So he did well enough to stay lead card second and third round.
Well, and I mean, so this is the kind of spot that suits him. Like he's played well on golf courses this year. Again, like we're talking GBO, we're talking San Francisco lead cards, you know, moving up into the final round. He ended up coming in seventh here last year. He really kind of struggled. I believe it was the final round where he struggled a little more. And by struggle, I mean, he shot a 10-13 rated final round. So not really terrible. But, I mean, we've seen a maturity in his game this year. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if this was the event, because it's a little bit of a smaller field, maybe not quite as deep, maybe not as high of a profile in terms of prestige for this event. This wouldn't surprise me to see this be the one that maybe Drew Gibson gets his breakout win at. I'm not quite there yet, but I do think top five for him is pretty much a foregone conclusion. So I'm going to take Drew Gibson. And
good choice.
Yeah, the women's side, I got to go with Lisa Fekus because she's the next best player in line there. You know, I was a little disappointed in her finish at Beaver State. I think it seems like she rebounded decently from that at the BC Open. And, you know, she's an accuracy player and she's a putter. And the baskets at this course can be a little tricky in terms of being placed on hills and rollaway potential and stuff. I think that gives her an advantage. So I'm going to go with Lisa Fekus.
Good call. I am going to pick, and you just mentioned him, Paul Ulibarri. He's doing really well. He just had that win this past weekend and took second in Beaver State. And he's got the experience here. And that's all I got.
No, that's good. I mean,
pretty well.
It's pretty simple for him. Yeah, he's a great pick at this event.
Yeah. And then I am going to go Paige Bjerkus. she can bomb a disc. So, and it's really, I have a lot of fun watching her play. And we haven't seen her too much. I guess she's out of school right now. Is that why we're seeing her more on tour?
Yeah, she's on a little
Is her
mini
name?
tour, I think, until like Junior Worlds, and then she goes back
Cool.
to help it in Emporia.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm hoping that she plays pretty well. And let's see. Yeah, she's the third highest rated. Nope, she's the fourth highest rated female in the pool. So I think she's gonna do pretty well.
Yeah, I she it, she was it was between that or it was between her or Lisa Fakus for me as well. So
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I want to look at the real quick just to give people a heads up on the feature cards. Did they actually announce who they were? Yeah. Okay. So we've got some feature cards with this one for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. So on the live coverage round one, we are going to have Ricky Wysocki, Paul McBeth, Bobby Musick, who's always fun to watch. And fan vote winner Colt Montgomerie, which is great. He's been having a strong season so far, and he can crush. So people, I think, will really enjoy watching him. And then there are two edited MPO rounds, and I don't know who's on which one here. One obviously will be Jomez, one will be Central Coast, but I don't know if they've drawn straws or what for whichever one. But you've got Jeremy Colleen, Eagle McMahon, Drew Gibson, and Austin Hannum on one of them, and then Paul Ewerbery, Garrett Gerthy, Will Shoestrick, and Anthony Barella on the other. Man, those
Cool.
are some awesome cards to watch.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
No offense to the guys on the live coverage, but I'm a little more excited to watch those guys on the edited coverage because we've got some people there who, we know are great, but we don't necessarily get to see as much. I mean, when was the last time we saw Will on a featured card?
Yeah.
It'd be great to watch him bomb a little bit, and then Anthony Barella, that'd be fun. And then the women's coverage, which I think they're doing it in the same like edited form where they will either, I think they'll either splice it into the men's coverage or they'll play it before the men's coverage. I don't know the full plan for that one, but that will be Jessica Weiss, Katrina Allen, Lisa Fakus, and Paige Bierkes. So all of our picks right there in
Awesome.
one card the first day. So again, that is Friday through Sunday, another Disc Golf Pro Tour event. You can find all that stuff at the Disc Golf Pro Tour YouTube channel and the edited post-produced stuff with Jomez Productions and Central Coast Disc Golf. Sarah, we are going to take one more break, and then we will come back and talk a little more about your time at the Magic City Mega Bowl this weekend, and we'll take a look at this week in disc golf history in just a moment here on PGA Radio. All right, we are on the home stretch here at PGA Radio, and Sarah, we've talked a little bit about your win at the Magic City Mega Bowl this last weekend. But you also had kind of an interesting experience, and it's given you a chance to kind of share with listeners some lessons you learned, correct?
Yes. So I've been playing for 10 years, and this is just to say that this sort of thing can happen to anyone, a new player, a seasoned player, a pro player, am player, whoever. So here's the lowdown. Playing the last course, the last day, George Ward Park, there's lots of out of bounds. There are roads, parking lots, some painted lines, some creeks, all sorts of things. And there are sidewalks that run around the whole park. Pretty much a sidewalk on every single hole. So this tournament was tee times. And so they were doing little mini players meetings before every tee time. And so the three of us went
Sure.
up and we were doing the little players meeting. And he was pointing out things in the player book, in the caddy book, that were misprinted or not printed there at all.
Right,
And
pretty standard operating procedure for
right.
tee time events.
Yep, because a players meeting, what is announced in a players meeting supersedes the caddy book. The caddy book could have been printed a week before, and maybe there's like a maybe you had a huge rainstorm and a pond just all of a sudden showed up on your course, or like something crazy happens and it's not printed in these caddy books that you've already printed like 300 copies of. So you could either do some sort of insert, or best thing to do is just to announce it during these player meetings where you're assuming that everyone is listening and or taking notes. So the we go through this, and so on some of the caddy book holes, there's individual OBs listed. So on one hole, for instance, it's parking lot, road, and painted line on left. And so we start the round, and about four holes in, I throw into a sidewalk. And so we look at the caddy book, and on that hole, it did not say that the sidewalk was out of bounds. And we looked at the rest of the caddy book, and there was not a general rule that said all sidewalks are out of bounds. So we look at further holes down the course, and there were holes that cited that the sidewalks were out of bounds. So we deduced from that, okay, if this hole says that the sidewalk is out of bounds and this other hole does not, then that's an intentional thing. And we should assume that the sidewalk is not out of bounds on this hole. So I said, okay. So I said, well, just in case, I'm going to play provisional. And the group decided that we're going to read the caddy book literally and decided that a provisional was not necessary.
Okay.
Group decision. The next hole, I throw in the sidewalk again and look at the caddy book. Doesn't say the sidewalk is out of bounds. So we assume that it is in bounds and take my three and go on my way. Nobody else threw in the side. Well, so one of the other girls threw in the sidewalk on a later hole. We checked the caddy book. On that hole, it did say that the sidewalk was out of bounds. So she took her penalty stroke and I think took her four. And then on the last hole, she went out of bounds, or she went in the sidewalk. The sidewalk was not listed as out of bounds. Sorry, this is getting very granular. Basically, we took strokes on the sidewalks where it was listed in the caddy book, and we did not take strokes where the out of bounds was not listed in the caddy book.
Right.
I win the event by seven. I go on my merry way and later find out that all sidewalks were to be played out of bounds.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. And here I am, like, so sticky and sweaty and covered in chiggers and bug bites. And I just want to get home.
Make
just want to drive.
So much fun, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to get my Diet Coke from McDonald's and, like, be on my way. But I got this terrible news. And so luckily I had pretty good access to the TD. I've known him for a few years now. And so I get in touch with him and I'm like, what's the deal? Like, what's going on? I'm kind of freaking out at this point. And he said, yep, I told you all that all the sidewalks play out of bounds. And myself and the two other women on my car did not remember that he said that. And therefore I didn't take provisionals and neither did the other girl. And for that reason, the TD made the decision to give me two stroke misplays for the two holes that I went into the sidewalk. And then the other girl who ended up tying for second, she also took one two stroke misplay.
Okay.
Penalty. So she ended up taking solo third. And the very, very lucky thing for me was that I had a 7-stroke advantage. And even with my 4 added strokes, I still won the event outright. Which was very lucky, because imagine if I only won by 4 and now all of a sudden I'm in a first place tie and I'm like an hour away from tournament. So cautionary tale, always, always, always play a provisional. If you are not sure, don't let anybody talk you out of it. And listen during the players' meetings, whether or not you think you know the course, like the back of your hand, like I did, and maybe take notes
and don't throw a B, Sarah.
I know.
Don't throw a B.
I know.
This whole problem could have been resolved if you just kept it in bounds.
Exactly.
Even though technically you didn't know it was in bounds, but I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
No,
I know.
I know it's, I'm sure it was a little stressful, but I'm sure that there are many people who can relate on one hand and another hand learn from that, you know, like,
I hope
just
so.
Because someone in your group or people in your group say, hey, don't play provisional, just do it. That's what the provisional is there for.
Yeah. So. And the last thing is, like, don't be angry at the TD for giving you strokes, because those are the rules. Like, you can't expect any kind of special. And I have witnessed this before, like people being like, come on, dude, like,
you're my just boy.
Do not be mad at the TD for making the rules the same for everybody.
Exactly.
It is my fault. I owned it. and that's that. And I'm really upset with myself. Looking back, I'm not upset with the TD. Shout out to Ben Swam. You did a great job. But yeah, just let it go. It's going to hurt my rating. It's going to hurt my pride a little bit, but
yeah. Maybe a better player for it at the end.
Yeah. And karma is real, people. Karma is real.
There we go. Well, thank you for sharing, Sarah. And I think it's good for people to hear stuff like that. So I would say this, if you've got any, tournament horror stories that you think people can learn from and would like us to read on the air, send us an email, radio@pdj.com.
I would love that.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a chance to educate the people a little bit on some other tricky scenarios.
Yes.
Good idea. Before we go this week, it's been a couple weeks. We haven't done this week of disc golf history in a while, Sarah. I've been slacking, but I found a good one this week, and I'm pretty pumped about this one. We are going to get in the time machine and go back 10 years to 2008, because this week in 2008 was the Golden State Classic. It was a PDGA National Tour event out at the famous La Mirada. And this was actually, if I'm looking in all of the PDGA listings correctly, unless they renamed it or something like that, this was actually the last Golden State Classic. It was the first NT in 2003 when the National Tour first started, and then it lasted for 5 years, and then we haven't had one since. I know there's kind of been they will sometimes put La Mirada into like the Golden State layout, which takes the two La Mirada front and back courses and puts them into one giant mega super 18 hole course. And so that's what they used to do at the Golden State Classic. And at this one, the winner ended up being Nate Doss by one shot over Steve Rico. As a California person and someone who appreciates, you know, that's where the National Tour started, I was actually surprised. I didn't realize it had only gone on until 2008. And if someone's listening who wants to correct me on that, please do, because I want to make sure my research is up on that. Valerie Jenkins won in the women's division, so that was a little Nate and Val special. I don't think they were married at that point, 2008. I'm not sure.
Oh, no. No. They've been married in the past 3 years?
Maybe they were. No, it's been longer than that, I feel like.
Oh, my gosh. Time just moves so quickly.
It does. And then the interesting part in this event, I'm looking at the Masters division, and the hot round from the final round came from the Masters division, with Steve Weiskup throwing a 1065 rated final round. So Ooh. I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah.
Golden State Classic, one of the old school LA area events. Just wanted to give that a little love for this week in disc golf history. And before we move on with our week, Sarah, we need to tell people one more time. Actually, we got a couple more weeks on this, but
yeah.
I want to remind people about hashtag PDGA Radio Challenge. There apparently are a couple people now, Sarah, who have on board. I need to go out and do it this week. I haven't done it yet.
You keep saying it, but I haven't seen any results.
I got stuff going on. No, my daughter's on summer this week. All summer. So maybe I will. Maybe I'll just put the camera in her hands.
Ooh, good idea.
You guys can have. I'm sure the cinematography will be excellent.
Ooh, a butterfly. Yeah. Look at that cloud.
She'll be like taking it from in a tree or something. She'll want to be climbing a tree and doing the downward angle. So people go out there, and we've got a couple more weeks if you want to do the PDGA Radio Challenge. It is a cardio round. Remember, you don't have to film your whole round like some overachievers on this show do. Underachievers being me, overachievers being Sarah, who filmed the whole round and put it in a sweet GoPro video. You can just take a photo. A short selfie video, you know, take a picture of your running shoes and your discs next to each other. I don't care what it is, but just get involved and have some fun. We would love to see some more people doing it. Anything else, Sarah? Is that good for this week? I think we're good.
Yeah.
Ready for Utah?
I'm ready to watch. Already got my popcorn maker ready.
Nice. Well, I will be sure to get one as well. And as always, thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe if you're enjoying the show. Tell a friend. Family member, fellow disc golfer, you know, all that good stuff. And you can hit us up with feedback at radio@pdga.com. So until next week, when we fully recap the Utah Open, I'm Steve Hill. That was Sarah Lamerson. And we will see you guys next time. Have a good one.